This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to Hour 2 of Radio Law Talk, the most exciting, interesting, and informative radio show on Earth. I did listen to the alien shows the other night. I was coming home. I got home around 2 a.m. And I'm telling you, I enjoyed it immensely, the alien show.
That's when they're out there.
That is what I'm telling you. I love those shows.
Did you see any aliens?
No, but I heard all about the paranormal. And it's just, to me, it's just, I don't say I believe, agree, or disagree with it. I just think it's fascinating, some of the people that come on there. I'm like, really?
You know what I would love to do? I would love to go back to the alien planet where their explorers have gone out into the universe, and now they're back with their findings. And they're talking about this planet called Earth.
Yeah.
And this is the one that we found, and here is a representation of the people that we found. And they're all a bunch of slack-jawed yokels and stuff, because those apparently are the only ones that ever get abducted.
That's exactly right.
You know, they're not talking to the intelligent. They're not talking to the...
No Harvard grad.
No PhDs. It's like, we got this guy. What do you... I'll tell you what. I invented the toothbrush. You know how they can tell? Because if anybody else invented it, they'd have called it a teeth brush. But I only got one, so that's what I called it, you know. And so
they don't go to medical school to abduct people.
No, they don't.
None of the medical... You think they come down, who are they going to take? Not the brain surgeon or the orthopedic surgeon.
No.
Jethro from
that guy, and that's why there's been no other contact, because they spread that out, they publish it on the Universal National Enquirer. Universal Enquirer, and everybody's like, that's Earth? Yeah, I don't want to go there.
Now, Denise apparently has been abducted. She's looking at you in a strange way, because she has been... I'm just perceiving here. Denise, am I right about this?
Oh, sure.
you were abducted.
Sure.
What was his name?
From the top of a... From the top of a roof while sunbathing.
Those of you who think that he's sexually harassing her, no, this is her true story that she has brought up many a times.
I did not bring it up many times. I brought it up one time.
I believe there have been referrals to
one time.
Not by her.
Yeah.
Well, we'll move on. And if you want to call in 855 Law Radio, remember we're talking about general topics of law and sometimes absolutely no topic of law. Remember to seek legal counsel. Do not call Denise, Fred, or Todd and say, look, I just mentioned your name before the judge and Radio Law Talk. We don't want you to do that. But anyway, go to our website, www.radiolawtalk.com, and you can read the disclaimers. Those of you out there, we like to thank, let's thank KBDT out of Dallas, Texas, for airing our show. We're throughout the country. We're in Nevada, we're in California, we're in Utah, we're in Minnesota, we're in Texas, we're gaining ground. But you know what? If you're listening online, because you can listen online, go ahead and tell your local station to pick us up and play us. And that's how sometimes we get more affiliates. And
there's a gentleman from Indiana called us last week who was listening online.
Yes,
that's right.
Exactly right.
He wasn't satisfied with our answer, but
that's okay.
But
let's go back to Jeff Bezos.
Yes.
Of the Amazon. So what we were talking about before the break is, and we're not trying to beat a dead horse, pardon the pun, but the situation is clear, is about, and what I was getting at, Todd,
yes,
during when we had the break, is how many of these cases truly are going on right now that are under the radar, where someone has taken a picture of their, and someone else has found it or used it, an ex-girlfriend or boyfriend or vice versa or spouse, and are using it to their advantage. Millions, I would say. Millions.
I agree.
And how could the DA, and I think you brought up a good point, spend the time to prosecute every one of these cases that they're using that picture as an extortion. And Denise brought up during the break, that sometimes happens in divorce cases, not necessarily, you know, to this detail, but that happens.
And in fact, that kind of a release or publication can be considered domestic violence in yes. family law.
And they can use that in order to pursue their cause, if you want to call it that.
So my response to that
right.
is...
Right, tell your response.
My response to that is, well, for example, I think that there are far more instances of drug possession than possession of illicit photographs, and the DA still prosecutes all those, even though they happen on a fairly routine basis.
Well, prosecute those they feel they can win.
Well, yes, and
well, the heinous ones,
yeah.
particularly heinous, your small-time...
Well, it really depends on your jurisdiction. In the jurisdiction that I currently live in, if you are found in possession of the legally prohibited amount, no matter how, they'll prosecute you. They will. But in this jurisdiction, they have the resources to do it. If I cross over into the jurisdiction just one county away from where we broadcast this show, the DA a couple of eight, 9 years ago, got funding cut by the Board of Supervisors and went on the news and said, from now on, these are the crimes we will not prosecute because we do not have the funding. Mm-hmm. And I remember the news report where the reporter was standing right on the county line saying, if I take three steps this way and have less than a gram of methamphetamine, I am good to go. And if I take three steps this way and cross it, I am going to be prosecuted. So that happens. But when it comes to what the DA prosecutes, there are what I call two levels at a minimum of interference before the case even gets to the DA.
Right.
One level is whether or not the law enforcement agency that was called to begin with even refers that case to the DA's office. And
that's the first step.
That's where a large part of them are weeded out. Like, I'm not going to write a report on this. You guys need to work this out. You need to
right.
do this.
Right.
In the past, that used to happen a lot with domestic violence. That has happened less now. Now it's a call of domestic violence. Somebody's going to jail. This is getting reported. The other line that even precedes...
The most dangerous time for police officers during a domestic violence
absolutely, absolutely.
Event.
But the other line before that is having an alleged victim that will even report it because of the embarrassment and the shame associated
right.
with it. If there's pictures of me out there and so-and-so has got it and they're offering to pay me and I'm getting extorted there, I have to take a long look at whether or not I even want to put my own reputation out there as being somebody that would have even taken a picture of myself to send it. And we lose a lot.
Would the cats have taken pictures of
you? Well, thank heaven they don't have opposable thumbs. Otherwise, I would be in trouble.
Yes, that's
okay?
Exactly right.
So a lot of them don't even get there. But if something makes it past the personal shame or whatever or embarrassment and it gets reported to the police and then makes it past the police to make it to the DA's office...
Exactly.
All right. I have, in 10 years as a DA, I never looked at a case that came my way that I felt that, well, the elements are there, I could prove it, but it's not worth my time, I'm going to dump it. If the elements were there, I'd take the case.
But your point is exactly what I'm trying to bring up, which
yes.
is that they don't even get there. Because
the
DA doesn't
right.
even get to it, because the police is like, okay, I got 14 murders I'm trying to solve, and one guy that's trying to do it, or gal, and I got someone saying, hey, this my ex-boyfriend's got a nudie of me.
Exactly.
Right.
Gonna,
look, I don't have
yeah,
time
but,
for
but
that.
This is a different. Basis is different mainly because AMI's on probation.
Exactly.
It's a whole different standard to prove something when somebody's on probation. Violation of probation's easier than to prove a whole entire
right.
criminal case.
And you had raised an issue before we went to break about, well, why is it that they're just going after the big guy? If it's everything else is
yeah.
going on. And I want to point out California rules of court, and these are uniform pretty much throughout the nation, but these are the sentencing objectives, what a court is listening for and what DAs know they're going to get if they prosecute, why somebody gets sentenced. One is to protect society. The other is to punish defendants. The other is to encourage the defendant to lead a law-abiding life. But this fourth one is why they're going after the big dog, and it is to deter others
from doing this
from criminal
action.
Conduct by demonstrating its consequences, and you get more bang for the buck if you prosecute a big guy.
We're going to come back
okay.
and talk about more than 50 celebrities and politicians and media organizations could face a lawsuit in the Covenant Catholic High School case. We'll be back.
in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
I am Cameron Levitt, Chief Operating Officer of Concussion Medical Clinic. California's first concussion medical clinic is now open. As concussions increase each year, there has never been a greater need for concussion specialists. Our physicians at Concussion Medical Clinic are board certified in pediatric neurology and sports medicine and have partnered with universities, hospitals, and rehab clinics to expedite the recovery process. Simply put, we are elevating the standard of care. When you need an expert concussion opinion or concussion care, visit Concussion Medical Clinic to schedule your appointment.
Jason Rossback here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Now, Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or give them a call, 1-800-616-4-LAW. That's PennyLawyers.com.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
Hi, I'm Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I bet you're tired of hearing lawyer commercials. So just relax and listen to music for a few seconds. When you or a family member has been injured, call 8-
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You're listening to RadioLawTalk.com. And now back to your host, Frederick Penny.
So Alyssa Milano, Elizabeth Warren, Jim Carrey are among a few of the many individuals and some media organizations that are being put on notice by the lawyers representing Nick Sandman. This is the famous case of the child. He's technically a child. He's a 16-year-old young man that was standing next to the American Indian that was beating his drum. And we
he's from Covington Catholic High School.
That's exactly right. So, what the issue is here is is libel and slander, you know, and that's what it comes down to. And everyone's thinking, oh, they're writing a letter to sue them. No, this letter is only a letter to preserve evidence.
Right. The first letter that went out was a cease and desist.
Right.
And a request for you, for the people that had said derogatory statements, for them
take
to
it back.
Take it back, withdraw it, giving them notice that if you don't do that, you may be sued.
Right. And the next step is what?
This step. This one is really new to me because I didn't realize.
No, I knew. Yeah,
I know you do this. This is your wheelhouse. But this is a letter saying, hey, you better preserve all evidence that can be used against you in a case that we bring against you for libel, slander, or defamation.
Right. There's
so it's a preservation letter.
Yes, it is.
And it says preserve your evidence.
And you could sue them. If they don't preserve it and they dump it or somehow, that's a separate lawsuit over and above the libel
slander.
Actually,
it's a crime.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Over and above that, that's a civil lawsuit. They can also bring and sue them for money saying, look, you dumped all the evidence.
Right.
And that's what they're doing. That's the second step in this civil action, is now tell them to take it back. The second step is, okay, now we're advising you to preserve the evidence.
Preserve your computer hard drive.
Right.
Preserve your email accounts. Preserve your Facebook accounts, all social media where you made any comments. Preserve anything you've ever had in writing. I mean, they're talking about, it's not just evidence that's relevant, but it's evidence that leads to relevant evidence.
Right.
So
anything.
We're talking about, it's very sweeping.
So what's the effect, Fred? This is in your wheelhouse.
It is.
What is the effect if... Now, this isn't a criminal case, and I understand what it would be in a criminal case. If something similar to this happened, there'd be probably an obstruction of justice charge or trying to destroy evidence in a criminal case if people got rid of it. But what is the penalty if, let's say I'm one of the 50 celebrities, I get this preservation letter from the plaintiff's attorney, and I delete something that was on my computer that might have been something that was responsive to this, but I don't adhere to the, this isn't a subpoena, this isn't an order from the court, it's a request from attorney not to do something. What's the penalty?
So I'm gonna give you a general answer, because a specific answer is too detailed.
It
depends on the state, and it depends upon the court. Believe it or not, a judge can go as extreme as saying, you lose the case because you got rid of evidence. Period. Yeah, I mean, plaintiff wins, you know. If you obstructed basically this evidence from being now let's back up. Even if they didn't send the letter, they still have to preserve the evidence, knowing that they have issues coming down the pike. This is just another step for the lawyers to go forward to put them on notice. But they can't argue, well, a lawyer never put me on notice to preserve the evidence. I threw it all out.
Right.
They could still go after them for that, for not preserving evidence.
Can you imagine what it would look like to a jury? If, let's say, I am one of those that received the preservation letter, Fred is now suing me, and I am on the witness stand, and Fred's asking me this question, did you receive this letter dated February 1st, 2019, asking you to preserve all of the evidence with yes, I did. Subsequent to that, did you then go in and delete evidence and not preserve it? Yes, I did. What does a jury think happens? I mean,
that's wrong.
That's consciousness of guilt there.
Right, yeah. So the letters, those...
Or liability.
Those who are...
But is the letter a court order? I mean, so what if you do? I mean, it doesn't make you look bad.
It's a crime. It's a federal offense, and it's also a state, usually, offense for you to destroy evidence.
No, but it's not. It's not just look bad, Cal. It's more
crime.
Than that. You cannot destroy evidence intentionally.
Well, let's be right. Suppose you don't know it's evidence, then it's not intentional. If you just normally purge your email, and then after you've purged, you get this letter, then what happens?
Well, it's fact based, Cal. So you got to go back in and say to yourself, Cal, given this situation, you go and purge it as you normally do, yet you know you're involved in this, and you are one of the named people that they named to take back what you said, and you go, I'm Cal Hunter, and I just purged once a month. I purged all my computer. that fact shows...
But you would have to know that there was a problem before you could be held accountable.
No, that's not true.
Generally speaking, I get that, Cal. But here's the best part. Here's the best part about it, though. The best part about it, and I've dealt with experts like this, if you erase, doesn't mean it's gone.
That's right.
I mean, you would be shocked at what's still on your computer, even though you erased it.
Or on other kinds of databases.
In the cloud, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, erasing something on a computer isn't like, it's not like a chalkboard.
It covers it up.
It's not like a chalkboard where you erase it. What you're telling the computer is, okay, there's stuff here in this area, and it's free to be written over with new data. And if it doesn't get written over, it's still there.
Even sometimes it does. It's just like, it's like putting a piece of paper over the top of a letter.
You know one thing I like? Are we going to talk about this when we come back from the break?
We will,
because
but keep going.
There's just one thing I like about this. A lot of times attorneys get bad names because the attorney is the one blamed for the frivolous lawsuit. The attorney is the one blamed for this. The attorney is the one blamed for that. And quite frankly, the attorney is always representing the interests of somebody. It's somebody who hired the attorney to do that, and it's that person's interest. And the thing I liked about this case is you heard what the Kentucky teen wanted. He wanted to have a discussion. He wanted to, you know, he wanted to change the minds of some people. And in this article, the attorney says, we want to change the conversation. We don't want this to happen again. We want to teach people a lesson. The attorney is mirroring what the Covington teen said, as opposed to saying, these people are going to pay through the nose and we want monetary damages. He's starting with, we want to change this.
Well, okay.
He wants to get paid, too.
Come on.
We should talk about some of the content about these different individuals who received the letters.
We're going to talk about what they did say and whether or not you believe it's libel or slander. Denise has a good take on that. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com. We'll be right back. Hold on. All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
My name is Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I've assembled an excellent team of highly experienced personal injury trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. At Penny & Associates, we will aggressively represent you and your family when someone has been injured in an accident. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
For a free initial consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or call 1-800-616-4LAW and ask for Frederick, Stuart, Rob, Kevin, Kent, or Will. That's Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers, 1-800-616-4LAW.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
Many women have so many clothes in the closet, but then we go to get dressed and find we have nothing to wear. We've all been there. We all want to be comfortable and fashionable at the same time, and it's difficult to find clothing that makes that task effortless. But at Letty & Company, you can find trendy, comfortable clothing that is affordable. Things you'll want to wear every day. Shop with a purpose, online, with free shipping. Just go to LETTYandCompany.com. LettyandCompany.com.
Hi, I'm Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I bet you're tired of hearing lawyer commercials, so just relax and listen to music for a few seconds. When you or a family member has been injured, call 800-616-4LAW or see us at Penny & Associates.
USA Radio News with Rick Vincent. Virginia's governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general all facing calls to resign as a result of racial and sexual allegations, and all had refused to do so. Director of the University of Virginia Center for Politics, Larry Sabato, tells CNN Governor Ralph Northam faces a tough remainder of his term.
I don't think he'll be giving many college graduation addresses, that's my guess. And so he's not going to have the ability to communicate with the public the way most governors do, or even to work with legislators on key legislation. It's going to be very tough on him.
Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren makes her 2020 bid for president official in Lawrence, Massachusetts.
I am deeply grateful that you came here on a cold and blustery day to be part of this announcement. Thank you.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey guys, Ted from Russell Stover again. Look, I thought we talked about this already. Valentine's Day is getting close, really close, and you still haven't done anything about it. It's time to put down the dumbbells or the tongs or the video game controller and pick up the Russell Stover heart-shaped box full of chocolates. Valentine's Day is this Thursday, so there is still time, but not much. Please, don't forget. Go! Go now! Russell Stover. Make happy.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
You're listening to RadioLawTalk.com. And now back to your host, Frederick Penny.
So we're back talking about Denise.
The Covington, Catholic.
But you wanted to
church.
Bring up what some of the actual supposed liable slandered sayings were, and you're going to discuss that really quick and think whether determine whether or not you think it is liable or slander.
No.
And don't forget, there's an issue as a child. There's a lower standard. They're not a public figure. So the standard is it doesn't have to be egregious, and generally speaking, I use the word egregious, but it's a much higher standard if it's a public figure.
Right. The only defense is going to be truth.
Yeah, truth.
Really, and truth as a defense.
Yeah.
But there's other examples, like what we know from Stormy Daniels' suit against Trump, is that he can say things that are political in nature or his opinion.
Right.
Then that is not going to be defamation.
Right.
We've got Alyssa Milano, who compared the Red Magna, the Make America Great Ahead hat, to a new white hood. Now, is that a comment about the child? No. It's a comment about something he was wearing.
That should not be an issue.
She probably will not get in trouble because, to be honest, her connection may be just opinion.
But go on. You didn't read the rest of the tweet. Without white boys being able to empathize with other people, humanity will continue to destroy itself. Now, the question is, did she put a question? That's questionable there. That's where...
It's a statement that's not directly made against Mr. Sandman, but it's alleged as against Mr.
Right.
Sandman.
So I think you're right.
So do you call him... It's questionable. It's her opinion.
Yes.
I'm not sure that she's going to have that much liability for that.
Right.
Then we've got Jim Carrey, putting the children and Phillips, the Indian man, into a political satire picture, because Jim Carrey does these portraits and does all this different stuff. They're not actual portraits, but they're usually political satire in some ways. And he puts them, and it's called Baby Snakes. And it's just a picture of people behind Mr. Sandman, you know, yelling and taunting, and then Mr. Sandman having a smirk on his face, and then Mr. Phillips, the Indian, with his drum. And it's just kind of... looks ugly. And
but look at the back, shows the one boy sticking his tongue out at him and stuff. And it's got Sandman, though. Don't forget, he's a minor child. He has drawn a picture of a minor child, and let me I'm going to argue the other side, and put it throughout the world, and without the permission of this child or his parents. Again, this is a minor child that he has put a picture of him up. I think Jim Carrey's going to have some liability.
And I don't. The only thing that in that picture that bothers me is the hate, again, right, on the hat, that I don't necessarily like. If you look
at it says hate again. Yeah. Okay, I didn't see that.
Yeah, but at the same time, we all know that political satire is protected speech. So I'm not sure that it's going to rise to the level of defamation or libel or slander against Mr. Sandman.
What about that he's a child? That's what
I don't think it matters. It's not a public person. We know that. And can we say Jim Carrey's perspective of this with a guy was working at the Indian? Yes.
Right. Go ahead and write a picture that looks exactly like someone's child and put down hate again on it, and this is a child, and publish it throughout the world and say baby snakes. Good luck. I think he loses.
Here's something that I think that we can keep in mind, just a general standard. If a complaint is filed against Jim Carrey, even if Alyssa Milano, I agree with you on Alyssa Milano, Sandman's name is not even mentioned.
Yeah,
but let's say that she was included in the lawsuit for hypothetical purposes. There was a lawsuit filed and she was there. You know, you don't have to, in a criminal case, the DA does not have to have proof beyond a reasonable doubt already there to make an allegation. To file a complaint. Mm. They have to have a reasonable belief that if this case went to trial, they could get a conviction. Okay? The same thing is true here. I don't have to have concrete evidence and proof prior to filing a complaint. That's what the discovery process for.
Right.
I have to have a, based on information and belief, a good faith belief of this, and people can differ. Filing a complaint is different than the outcome of the complaint. I think that if Milano and Carrey are in the complaint when it starts, Milano probably has a better shot than Carrey of having hers dismissed on the merits without having to pay a dime. Carrey may have more potential liability. Maybe he writes a check to get out, but I still think that there is probably enough there to...
If I'm a lawyer, I'm all over Carrey.
I'm not. I mean, political satire, we know from the cases in the Supreme Court that involve political satire that they can say a lot.
They can.
They can imply a lot. They can imply that a dictator is a murderer.
They can
imply all kinds of things because it's political satire.
I don't disagree with you there, but where I think you're missing it, that I'm going to disagree, I don't think you're missing, I think we're going to disagree on, this is a non-public figure, minor child that he is disparaging. Period. That's it. Jim, you're guilty.
Because a minor child at 16 could get his own passport and travel the world.
I know.
I'm not so sure that to me is
not guilty, but let me back up. Not guilty, Jim Carrey, but I think you lose that case in civil action.
What is Carrey's method of publication? I mean, does he do
work? He just tweets it out.
Yeah. So, I don't know, honestly, is political satire different for somebody that works for the Washington Post versus somebody that just... does their own paintings and tweet them out?
Nope.
Okay.
I don't think there's a different
standard. Okay, now let's move on to Kathy Griffin. Now, I think this one we're all going to agree that she's got some issues. Go through that.
Well, Kathy Griffin actually calls out the children and said, let's get their names. We want to shame them. And she says, if you don't think these would indoctrinate you in a heartbeat, think again. So she's actually talking about the school. She's talking about the children, and there's enough detail in what she
says. Call to action. It's a call to action.
Yeah, it feels like it's a call to action to shame these kids, and it's enough detail that it's easy to determine who she's talking about.
Right. All right, so I think that's so. You now
I think Griffin even faces potential criminal liability in that, because California Penal Code Section 653.2, and mind you, the jurisdiction would be in any location where either the victim is or the perpetrator of the crime was.
Yeah.
And California passed 653.2, which prohibits using electronic communication device, including Twitter and mediums, for intentionally causing someone to suffer reasonable fear for their safety or the safety of an immediate family member. And by this call to arms, so to speak, for doxing and to shame them and to do that, I think you could make the case that she is, that Sandman would be in reasonable fear for her safety based upon what she's calling for. Now, whether or not a DA's office in Southern California is going to pick this up or have it be reported to law enforcement, I don't know. But there is a criminal provision that, in
that
theory,
could apply.
She that would apply to her.
Now let's jump to, Elizabeth Warren. Let's go to Elizabeth Warren's.
Well, Elizabeth Warren was being very protective of the American Indian that was involved, Mr. Phillips. And again, I don't necessarily think that hers is actionable.
Hers is not very. It's, you know, I don't necessarily agree that she should have said that, but I don't know that she did something so illicit that it's Omar Elder and Vietnam War veteran Nathan Phillips. Oh, wait. Omar Elder, it says
Omaha Elder.
Oh, but it says and Vietnam War veteran Nathan Phillips.
Now, it's a couple of interesting things
endured
about
this. Hateful taunts with dignity, hold on, and strength, then urged us all to do better.
Couple of interesting things about Elizabeth Warren in the breaking news category. Just announced today that she is officially running for president in 2020.
Right, that's exactly right.
Second thing.
Join the crowd.
Yes, by saying endured hateful taunts. Well, she's making an allegation that these kids were hatefully taunting the elder, and I don't believe that you can hear from the audio that that necessarily happened. Her defense would have to be, when played, the audio is played, I can hear hateful taunts. The allegation from the plaintiff.
The chops. She said the Indian chops were doing Indian chops with her hand. And
the third thing that isn't
being disrespectful.
The third thing that isn't necessarily slanderous towards her, but interesting from this tweet, is that Nathan Phillips actually never served time in Vietnam. His military question, the military service that he has called, that he has touted, has been seriously called into question about the amount of time that he actually didn't
spend. Even if he did at all. So, but Elizabeth Warren is, we're not going to get into politics. So here's the other thing. Let's go back on the positive side. Those who basically like Jamie Lee Curtis, who what she said was wrong and extreme, I think.
Yeah, but she said you can't just look at one part of this and not look at the whole. And she said, I admit I made a mistake.
Right.
You have to read both sides of the story, and you're going to have to make a more reasoned approach. And I spoke too soon is basically what she said.
And she said, look. Don't judge a book by its cover. And she recanted, and I think that was just, what's wrong with that?
Well, and interestingly, given the statement that the lawyer made about this being, we want this to be a lesson, we want people to learn about this, it would be hypocritical of the team to want to sue Jamie Lee Curtis when by her mea culpa and reducing it is exactly the kind of response that they're
seeking. They requested, exactly.
We're going to be back and talk about a San Diego restaurants, whether or not they can legally add a surcharge to the bills. We got some interesting takes from some Twitter followers. We'll be right back.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to radiolawtalk.com.
Jason Ross back here with Fred Penny.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Lumines. The Lumines anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Jampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon, you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. Readytoeatbacon.com.
Hear past episodes of Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com. Just click on the podcast tab. Happy listening.
So it's interesting how, let's talk about big cities, New York, L.A., you know, San Francisco, you know, Boston, whatever. You go to these big cities, and the amount that an individual has to be paid to work in a restaurant or even a fast food joint, with the increase in the minimum wage, which in California and parts of Seattle are up to $15 an hour, there's a couple of things that are happening. And this is a fact. This is not a politically, this is not a political issue that I'm bringing. I mean, it is a very political issue, but I'm not talking about the political issue. The fact is that in some areas, there is no way that these restaurants or fast food joints can stay in business. They just can't do it. In San Francisco, how can you afford with the rent and the $15 an hour minimum wage people, and by the way,
$12 an hour.
Well, 12, but some of them are 15, are jumping to 15 soon. It's going to 15, and some of them, I believe, is Seattle's already up to 15. But we got to double check it. Here's the point. The point is, First of all, it's difficult for a person to live on that. I get that in San Francisco or in New York. But the issue comes, now what does the restaurant do to stay in business? And so what the San Diego restaurants have done is they have now added a quote, and I put in quotes, a surcharge. And I will quote it. At the bottom of the menu it says, and this is a number of restaurants that are being sued, a 3.5% surcharge will be added to each bill to help cover increasing operations and labor costs. It's funny to me, and again, not getting political, how people always say, well, it's just the company. You know what? The business is going to nail the business. The business need to pay more. Whoa, they're going to pass it on. It's going to get passed on somehow to the consumer. So the argument was, is this lawsuit came forth against these restaurants, one called George's at the Cove, one Cohen Restaurant Group, about tacking on illegal surcharges, which is against what's called the California Consumer Legal Remedies Act, they're claiming. Superior Court Judge Timothy Taylor disagreed and said it is not unlawful as a matter of law to add a surcharge. And I think Cal brought that up, early on when we at the first part of the hour is there used to be surcharges for gas. Yeah. Like if you had delivery, there's surcharges.
Like during the 70s during when the 70s. Gas went just sky high, yeah. And everybody was in line trying to get gas.
That's exactly right.
We had a huge shortage.
And it's interesting that one of our listeners that tweeted, and we go to Radio Law Talk Twitter, you can see this great listener said, and I'm going to quote him. 10 to 12 years ago, Las Vegas Strip hotels charge $3 to $5 energy surcharge. That's evolved to the dreaded now, quote, resort fee.
And right, so restaurants aren't the only industry that has used surcharges. The key in this case was the judge said that there was full disclosure. They had fully disclosed that there was going to be a surcharge of this percentage based upon the increase in labor costs. And that was fair because it was full disclosure. There was nothing misleading about that sign. And people came in and they read it. They saw it on the menus. They saw it posted on the establishment. So there was no illegality to it.
Yeah. You know, just to get an idea of why this is an issue, take California, for example, and other big states have progressively increasing minimum wage over the next couple of years. California's minimum wage currently is $12 an hour.
Right.
Effective January 1st in 2020, and then January 1st of 2020, 2021, and 2022, the minimum wage will continue to increase until, effective January 1st, 2022, it will be $15 an hour in California. And I see these restaurant owners, if they were just passing along in terms of the cost, saying, okay, the $10 sandwich is now $11, and just increasing the price in their menu, I think they're trying to make a statement here. So that folks that voted for the minimum wage increase know exactly how this is hurting them. So they can look at it and go, well, without the minimum wage increase, I would have paid $25 for my meal. Now I'm paying $28 because they added $3 on for this. I think that this is kind of a ploy to make people aware of exactly how they're being impacted. Well, I don't know that it's successful, but I see that being one of the reasons.
Well, it gets people out there to vote,
okay,
perhaps.
Yeah. But before I get to Cal, let me comment on this. I just looked it up, and I knew I was correct on this. As of January 1st, minimum wage in Seattle for the largest employers climbed to $16 per hour.
For the largest employers, that's a certain percentage of employees.
Yeah, but McDonald's, I'm sure, is a large employer, right?
So, depends on how many franchises you have.
Yeah, but my point is how does a McDonald's, how does a Mon-Pa restaurant that has seven restaurants with, you know, 90 employees handle $16 an hour?
That is Seattle paying $4 an hour above what the state minimum wage
is.
But my point is that these aren't the first people to try to make a political statement on a menu. There was a gasoline chain in California. I think it was called Cheaper back in the day. And on the gasoline pump, they were the first ones to put a decal up that said actual cost of gasoline, state tax, state sales tax, federal excise tax, California pollution tax, whatever it is. So they showed that you were actually paying almost as much in taxes as you were per gallon of gas.
Wow. Okay, but here's, and that's exactly, you see that when you go to another state.
Yeah.
A friend of mine just moved to Louisiana, and he goes, it's like $2 a gallon.
There are usually little obscure stickers on the gas pump, even in California,
right,
where you can find out what the tax per gallon is.
That, okay, that was not legal for a while.
Right.
They had to get a law passed so they could do that.
So let's go on. So you guys brought this up, and I've got it here. So companies with more than 500 workers worldwide, not just in Seattle, worldwide, it's $16 an hour. Those under 500 employees, it's $15 an hour. So even the small mom and pa's are getting hit in Seattle with $15 an hour.
Now, I think this all goes back to the policy considerations that were actually put in place back in the 60s. Okay, I saw a stat the other day that I thought was very interesting. Back when the United States went from a currency or from a precious metals based economy, where it was based on gold and silver, to something different with the Federal Reserve, minimum wage was $1.25 an hour, and if you were paid that $1.25 in five quarters, those quarters were made out of silver. If you had those five quarters right now, based upon the current price of silver, those five quarters would be worth about $17. The $1.25 an hour that you made in five quarters would be worth about $17.
That's
right
before
now.
They put filler stuff at the quarter size.
No, right. But in other words, the value of the labor based on the inflationary wage being paid is still that $1.25 plus the inflation, because in Seattle it's $16. So it would be
that's
$16
right.
bucks worth of silver, or $1.25 and three quarters back in the 60s.
So the question is, the minimum wage can continue to rise. If you don't get the currency and the inflation under control, you're never going to catch up to it. You're going to run into the same problem of, look, it's going to be $16, it's going to be $20 an hour, I still can't afford to live in San Francisco.
And nobody bothers to say, if the price of everything goes up because of the minimum wage, you know, then the price of everything goes up, including rent,
yep,
everything goes up. It's a circle that never ends.
Right. It's putting a Band-Aid on a cut that needs stitches.
So those of you who want to call in, 855-LAW-RADIO, or tweet us at Radio Law Talk. Cal, you had a caller that called in and didn't want to be put on the air, but give us the brief overview question.
To summarize, they were a landlord, had a dispute with a tenant, went to court. The judge was in his 80s, they said, and was not really... they sat down, had all of their material in a file, began to present their case, and the judge put his hand on top of the file, essentially, and said, I've heard what I need to hear, and awarded the money to the tenant in the case, who was being deceptive, according to these people.
So there's a couple of
things.
So
what do you do?
Yeah, what do you do in a case like that, Denise or Todd? First of all, as Denise brought up, you can, if you know before you come into court, you can bring what's called a 170.6 motion in California, and every state's got their own motions. But you could basically kick the judge off. You get one disqualification
of a judge for no reason, basically.
Right.
You just have to allege there's going to be bias or something against you or your client.
But you have to know in advance, right?
But you have to know in advance.
That's
and in California, it's 10 days after that judge is appointed
to do it. In most jurisdictions in California for, like, unlawful detainer, which is what this would be, a landlord, you kind of know, based upon the assignments in the individual court, which judge is hearing what. It's not that hard to figure out, but I can see how it would be hard if you're representing yourself and you don't have an attorney.
Which, in small claims, you represent yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
But don't forget,
this was an unlawful detainer. This would not be small claims.
Well,
unless he's going for money against the tenant.
Yeah, okay.
So I guess, potentially, it could have been a small
claim. Ready for this? People don't realize this, a lot of people. Do you know you can appeal a small claims court case? And you can appeal it up to a superior court?
Not if you are a plaintiff, and not if you lose.
Really? I
cannot appeal as a plaintiff. Nope.
Oh,
Only the defendant can appeal it.
You can take an attorney into small claims court.
Interesting.
You can't. You don't.
They can't appear.
We're going to argue about that when we come back. We'll be back for hour three. Hour three.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated. Radio Law Talk.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$1,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.